Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This
who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
The third highest attended round in history. Huge TV and radio ratings. New coaches, upsets, resurgences and a draw. What a round one it was. And to dissect it all and cast our eye forward to round two on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, we're joined by the 287-game, two-time All-Australian, Lee Montagna.
Rabsy, what an intro.
Thank
hello,
you, mate. All-Australian, Collingwood Premiership star, Daisy Thomas.
Hopefully this show lives up to the intro, Razzie. This is all time.
And the big enchilada from the AFL.com.au and Triple M footy, Damien Barrett.
That seemed a bit prepared for Triple M, Rob. Yeah. Off the top.
I wrote it about 5 minutes ago and printed it out.
It was good. I liked it.
Did you send it off to the AI? Is that one of those ones where you send it off to the artificial
GPT, whatever it is? No. Boys, how did we see round one?
Well, it was great that footy was back, wasn't it? As you touched on, crowds through the roof, third highest crowd for a round ever in the history of AFL. And we had some great games. It was a little bit anticlimactic. I thought Thursday night, a draw. I'm not a rap for the draw anymore. The game didn't live up to the sort of the hype. But then Friday absolutely delivered and continued on through the weekend. And well, really, Dame, I loved all four coaches. The new coaches all finding a way to win first up. We'll find out whether it was just a sugar hit, that old sugar hit, the new coach, the new voice, or whether there is something a little bit more substantial and sustainable underneath it all.
And then me being the journo, Joey goes to the negatives, of course. and I say that in the context of West Coast having a horrendous start to this season. As you well know, 25 losses now out of their past 27. And there's some concerns around Brisbane Lions too, and I'll get you guys to take us through that when we preview the round two matches, but not a good start for them.
Good start for the journos, though, Daisy, with a few real bad losses, Fremantle and Brisbane and West Coast. The journos have got stuff
Gold
to write
Coast.
About straight up.
They've got two coaches on the hook already. They've had two bumps. The bump's officially dead. It's incredible.
Well, the coaches are saying the bump's dead. Yes. I mean, Simon Goodwin has been saying that. So
I think we can all agree that the bump is dead.
We'll get to that because because that's in Damo's newsy segment.
Part,
but
yes.
Talk about some clubs that had some rough starts. Well, we've got to hold ourselves accountable here. We're going to do a new segment, the Moral and the Ruffy.
Yep.
And we think we know our footy. That's why we're meant to be on this show. Well, let's just recap how we went with our tips and our certainties, absolute morals from last week. And I'm going to go Brisbane as my moral against Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
How'd that go?
You could tell I wasn't confident when I was trying to find one. I wasn't confident and
you paused.
I wasn't very sure.
I was confident on mine. Certainty wise, I'm going with Fremantle against the Saints. See?
Daisy, I think you might have done the best out of all of us.
If you hear the reversing noises of a truck, that's me backing it up to Carlton tomorrow night. They are my certainty.
Really?
Could not be more bullish on them.
When you get a draw, and that's the closest the three of us get to the certainty game.
And now I can hear your hand in your pocket just getting some loose change out. There's
not
nothing
much,
left.
Not much change left, Joey. The Blues had it all but sewn up too. Just a little bit of a brain fart down that outer wing. So I think out of all of those, I'm not sure who was more disappointing out of your two sides. Fremantle were very, very poor in a game. We thought they should have won. Well done. Yeah. Hats off to Rossi Lyon. Genius. Wheeled out the injuries, wheeled out the lowering expectation.
Going to play an attacking offensive game. Cuddly Ross. No, we'll win 60-50.
And your Brisbane, well, they were absolutely puopolite.
Did you see Ross smash his hand on the desk and the can of Coke exploding over his laptop?
Yeah. No.
He was on the phone 28 amazing. Seconds in. It was incredible.
Yeah, he spilled his Coke. He banged the Coke spilled, and then he was looking for someone for a towel. No one had a towel in the box. So he had to get his notes, his paper, and was wiping it up with some paper. So Rossi already delivering.
But you would have spoken to him this week, wouldn't you, Joey?
I actually haven't yet. No,
you helped get him a job at St Kilda, which you love me raising.
Here we go. No, I didn't. I haven't spoken to Rossi, but his press conference was a little bit flat because they won. It was quite straight bat, pretty boring. So we'll wait for his juicy press conferences when they have their first loss. Hey, speaking of rough starts, just want to quickly touch on. There were a lot of players in new colours this year. A lot of high-priced recruits starting off at some new clubs. It's quite a mixed bag, wasn't it? There were a lot of big-name recruits that really struggled first up. You think of the Brisbane too. Dunkley only had three kicks. Gunston really struggled. You think about Blake Akers, and he had that moment he'd like to take back at the end of the game for the Blues. Obviously, Rory Lobb and Liam Jones had their own issues
Liam
for the
Jones
Bulldogs.
Is up in hospital, that's not great.
That's right. He's going to be out, and Liam Jones was injured as well. Sorry, Liam Jones was injured, and Rory Lobb's going to be out. Yep, and then, of course, Jackson and O'Meara had a bit of a rough start for the Dockers, and even McStay and Hopper as well. All sort of struggled in their first game in new colours. Out of all those names, is there one you're expecting it's going to have a big bounce back this weekend?
I think they all get better with,
yeah,
obviously.
Of course they will. They're
all good players. It is hard. I remember playing against the Pies for the first time at the Blues, and I didn't play very well myself. But you knew more what Collingwood were going to do than what your own teammates were doing. And I think that was seven rounds in. So the adjustment and the habitual stuff you pick up from being, and a lot of those guys have been at other clubs for a very long period of time. The running patterns of how people use the ball, the decisions they make. You know, if someone gets it, they'll give a handball or they might be a kicker. All those sorts of things. They're the little tidbits that take a bit to pick up on. So I think they'll all be better for the run. I think Jackson is the one that needs to improve the most, arguably. He was fantastic at his time in Melbourne, still only young, but in that game where it was screaming out for a big man to take it by the scruff of the neck, he wasn't able to.
And whether you like it or not, when you take the money as Jackson has done, as part of the deal to get back to Fremantle, it comes with scrutiny. And while he's still a young player in his fourth season of football only, it's fair game in that perspective. In terms of the names you rattled off, Joey, I think Gunston's too good a player to not quickly fix that for the Lions.
Before we get to your news, Damo, what about the other side of the coin, boys? Horn Francis, Junior Rioli, Bobby Hill, Tom Mitchell, Will Setterfield, Ollie Henry all played really big parts for their new clubs. Who impressed you the most?
Yeah, I did. I actually really loved the way Ollie Henry stood up. He knew they were going to come for him. He knew the crowd were going to get into him, and he didn't shy away from it. He had some moments he'd like to take back, but I loved his performance first up for the Cats, and I was really impressed with Tom Mitchell. I think he's going to make a huge difference to Collingwood. He's not going to get his 35-40 touches anymore because of the way the Pies play. But his 11 clearances were crucial.
And two goals.
Yeah, and hit the scoreboard.
Horn Francis for me. A young kid who's been under a heap of scrutiny. For him to go home and then produce what he did, we know he's going to be classed. I think Kenny Hinkley summed it up. You don't go pick one without having the attributes and the talent to go out there and take a game and absolutely dominate it from time to time. But that's probably the first time we've seen him do it. Demonstrate it. Looks like he's in a good, happy place. And I hope for the young kid that he goes on and has a fantastic year.
The dynamic roles that Junior Rioli played and Bobby Hill, respectively, for Port Adelaide and Collingwood were crucial. And I loved what Brody Grundy did. We got to see what we've been talking about for 6 months with Max Gawn. And while the numbers attached to his performance weren't through the roof, it was the impact, wasn't it? And the decisive way with which he played that just made everyone realise, okay, this does work when they do it that way.
Yep. Also, shout out to Mick Stay from Collingwood too. Wasn't completely dominant, but he's part of a system. You talk about Mitchell changing his game. Mick Stay as well played a critical role in the way that the Pies were able to move the ball.
And someone not in a new club, but new in the AFL, Harry Sheasel as well, was extremely impressive off halfback flank for the Roos.
Ridiculous.
And equally impressive off-field, the way he carries himself for a guy just out of school.
Yeah. Fair dinkum or Fugazi, still to come on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. But up next, it's Damo's News.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I don't think I've ever cheered so much for a football team that I don't really give a stuff about.
Triple M rocks footy.
Plenty of news to come out of round one, Damo, starting with Cozzy Pickett and Shane McAdam receiving 2 and 3 week bans from the MRO and Tribunal.
And the conjecture that then flows on from that, with the Crows now announcing their intent to appeal through the Appeals Tribunal, the McAdam finding of 3 weeks, and largely, at least the public narrative perspective of it, guys, is that they don't think that lines up with what Pickett did against Bailey Smith on the earlier occasion. Just before I get your views and jump in hard as you do, Toby Green last night had this to say about the comparisons of Pickett against McAdam.
To be honest, I found Pickett's a bit worse. I thought he sort of jumped and it was more deliberate than perhaps what that was, a high hit. So, you run the risk when you do choose to bump, and you know we're all aware of that as players. So, I think both suspensions were pretty fair.
When it's all played out, I see it that way too. For what it's worth, keen to get your views as well. But I don't think it's grounds for Adelaide to use as a potential defence mechanism to try and downgrade it to 2 weeks when it comes to McAdam. The threes are going to be the new norm, and that's the way I see it.
Yeah. So they're basing it on what Cozzy Pickett did as their. Is that their reference point, really?
Good luck doing that through the legal channels in the Appeals Tribunal. But that is an underlying component to their decision to appeal.
Yeah, and I mean, really.
And I get it from there.
Yeah, but in simple terms, his bump was more forceful than Cozzy Pickett's, I suppose, is why it's been an extra grade and why he's got the 1 extra week. So, look, it is going to be a big talking point. I think I'm in the camp of a lot of other people that maybe we need to look at the rule changes and the change of the laws around what a bump and how it's going to be adjudicated suspension-wise. Because, I see it now, Daisy, and I don't know what you think, but there's three ways that you can do it. I think you've still got a place to be able to block. So it's a bump, but you're taking care. You're doing it in a matter where you are not going to endanger an opponent's head or anything like that. So you are allowed to still block, whether it's a shepherd or in a contest. Then there's the one where you brace for contact. So you're going for the ball, but at the last second, you are turning your body to protect yourself, which is still a bit of a grey area, but there is a place for that in football because instinctively you are going to protect yourself in the moment. It's a bit, think of the Paddy Cripps incident or the Willie Rioli incident when he was going for the mark when Matt Rowell was coming back the other way. That's a bit of the grey area, Damo. And then I think we need to get to a point where if you choose to bump, so if a player's got the ball and you're running at him, or you are the one that is making, like Buddy Franklin, the contact when you can go for the ball, then that should be a starting point, automatic suspension. And then depending on how serious it is what you get. Oh, I think we need to look at adjudicating the way that you bump now differently.
Every year the AFL come out and tell you the changes to the rules. I'm not sure why they didn't just come out and blanketly say, if you bump, you're in trouble. Because with the concussion stuff going on, and this is where it's all stemming
from,
really.
This is exactly where it's all stemming
from. The AFL have to be seen to be doing something and implementing change in and around concussion so that we are taking it serious as an industry. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. Just would have liked the players to be forewarned about it, that if you have any sort of issue, Cozzy Pickett, it's not a footballing action, it looks bad.
The only issue
outcome,
that is,
which has been the historical thing, sling tackles, the outcome, if you're fine, you get off. His motion doesn't look great, but the outcome. But now in and around that, he's been upgraded on the cause, on the possible cause of impact.
But Daze, I'd argue these are charges, not bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, but again, from
Daze is right. These
seasons,
two are the
last
scapegoats.
Seasons are the, yeah, exactly.
These two are the scapegoats,
it's a clear
aren't they?
Now going forward.
Do you call them scapegoats?
Well, in regards to Daze's right that they've changed the rules of the tribe, the way we look at it. Because now we're saying, if normally it comes on the outcome, both these guys didn't have head injuries, but they're getting suspended anyway. So I think, unfortunately for these two players, unfortunately, that's now the benchmark, and I reckon the rest of the competition are now on notice. If you deliberately choose to bump someone, whether you get them in the head or not, you're probably going to get suspended.
The only way you can bump now is the old-fashioned hip and shoulder, when you both have hip and shoulder together. Anything up the middle, you're in trouble. It's pointless. There's no point. You may as well, you know, if you're going to tackle, go for the hips, wrap your arms around in a spearing sort of motion, but put your arms around. That's the only way. The bump is officially dead.
You both played for footy clubs that had distractions off field, some greater than others. I raise that in the context of the Melbourne situation with the former chairman, former president Glenn Bartlett, now making public his many and varied grievances that he's got with the running of his former football club, the one that at which he was president at the start of the premiership winning year in 2021. Was taken off the board and is now airing publicly through reasons that relate to his own need to do so.
What's your thought on what and on what he's doing? Because I read it last night. I read it online. I'm like, what's his go? There's no need. It smells of sour grapes to me. I don't know enough about it. What's your take?
I'm of a similar view, Joey. I always work backwards in anything when it comes to analysing things. What's the end game? Now I don't know what the end game is here. And look, Glenn's suing half the world, and he's threatened to sue the other half. And again, I don't know where all that goes.
Now, I can't get sued for saying it smells like sour grapes.
You might receive a
retraction.
I retract that. Please don't sue.
I reckon Glenn's a great bloke.
Sorry, finish off.
Well, again, to your question though, I'm with you. I don't know where it goes. Now, I suppose the news element out of what he has said in the past 48 hours is the desire that he had to hair test the entire staff and whether the point he's trying to make is there and what's he trying to imply there?
Yep.
What's he trying to infer there? I'll leave it for others to work it out because it's his argument and his argument alone in this space. So again, in terms of the articles, again, you do read them. I read them. You've clearly read them. You absorb them. I don't know what it does. I don't know where he wants to take it and what outcome is it. And whether it is just to get on the public record and maybe to get back at people he feels has wronged him, I don't know.
If you're getting booted off a board and this is what you're doing as a result of that, there's probably reasons before that why you're no longer there. I don't see any need. If you actually have the best interest and as a board member, you're meant to have the best interest of your footy club at heart first and foremost. It's clear that isn't the case. It's his own personal agenda.
Careful, this is in that zone where you might receive a phone call yourself.
As I said,
from a player's point of view or a club point of view in regards to distractions, to your point, I was never one as a believer that the off-field distractions affected your on-field performance. I didn't really buy into that. Yes, there's noise and a lot more commentary about your club. But in regards to being a player, Daisy, I don't know if you agree, it doesn't affect how you train,
how you prepare for
a game. Hey, we had a lot of issues at St Kilda too.
Actually, that's a good point.
But I don't think it affected how you play as an individual or as a team. You focus still on what you need to do on the field and you let that other stuff take care of itself.
Ours was arguably a bit more political because we had a senior coach who was being pushed aside for another incoming senior coach in a year where we were threatening to and a chance to go for a grand final. So the noise in and around that was inescapable. You would, you know, press conferences, fans, everything, the biggest club in the land. There was a slight distraction element to it, but you're right. You get paid to do a job, and at the end of the day, you go out and do that to the best of your ability. But it is a lot easier when you don't have these sort of things firing up. And I'm sure the Melbourne Footy Club would be agreeing, going, why again? Why is the need for this? Because there isn't any.
There's icons in this game of footy on field, and they're the ones we celebrate most. But I would argue that the person who's passed away overnight, Ron Joseph, formerly a major official at North Melbourne mainly, and also Sydney, and other involvements in football, was the off-field giant of the game. What he did at North Melbourne, for those who aren't familiar with the name, in the early 70s, was get Ron Barassi to the club with others. Albert Mantello and Alan Aylett were also part of that process, but Keith Gregg, Schimmelbusch, Dench of the locals got in. Barry Cable, Malcolm Blight, Roslyn Denning later, the Cracker Brothers. They then used a rule that the VFL then allowed them to use, the 10-year rule, to get other players from other clubs in en masse. Doug Wade, John Rantel, people like that, and helped to get North Melbourne's first premiership. And then went to Sydney, secured Barassi again as coach, and then got Lockett in at the end of that 1994 season, about 2 months after he nearly killed Peter Cavan as a St Kilda player, kicking 11 goals in that game. Got Paul Roos in the same trade period, end of 1994. So his legacy is profound. And again, if you want to debate the merits of is he the number one off-field person, I'd happily have Ron Joseph in my conversation.
He must have been highly persuasive and influential to get all those figures to their clubs. And really, on their knees, weren't they? The Kangaroos, and get them up, and the Sydney Swans, and really put them on the map in regards to the AFL competition.
And part of the mistake too about the persuasiveness was the famous stacked brown paper bags bursting, which he, I think, denied for a few years and now just used to talk quite openly about. So, Rebsy, just before we go to your new segment, the Fergazi or Fair Dinkum, we touched on it a moment ago about the Gawn and Grundy combination. Just quickly, guys, you saw it operate against the Bulldogs last week. It worked, I would have thought, a treat first up.
Worked as well as they could have hoped. Yeah, absolutely. I think now, I mean, Max Gawn, it was the third highest rated game of his career on Saturday night, because now what it is, for me, it looks like, he's going to have more quality rather than quantity in regards to his influence. He's now going to get more possessions in the front half of the ground. So think about the way Bontempelli's evolved a little bit, and Dustin Martin, and these guys that are now getting more ball in the front half and doing maximum damage as opposed to the quantity. I can see Max Gawn now having more influence because of what he'll do in the front half of the ground, not just kicking goals, but being able to be more involved in their offense. I thought it worked perfectly.
Structurally, it was absolutely brilliant. So forward 50 stoppages when they were both on the ground. Grundy would go in. Max would come out and take a defender, which allowed Lever to be the goalkeeper, if you will, furthest down. The ball came out. Max would have a mismatch in size. And then if the forward took off that way, Max would just drift across with the line of play. So therefore, he essentially becomes a spare for three quarters of the ground. Absolutely brilliant. Melbourne couldn't be happier. And it's good to see that it actually worked. And Brodie Grundy, well done to him, because he said himself he had doubts if he could ever get back to his best form. We haven't seen it yet, but I think he's on the way.
There you go. Your round two predictions, certainty and a surprise not too far away. But up next, Fair Dinkum or Fugazi. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Sometimes you go looking for stuff and sometimes it just comes across your desk.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Not too far away from getting your certainties and a surprise for round two, because your round ones were chaotic, let's be fair. But right now it's time for Fair Dinkum or Fugazi.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's
Fair Dinkum
or
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
So just a reminder of what this new segment is. I'll make a statement, Joey, Damo, Daisy, and you either say, yeah, that's Fair Dinkum, or you think it's a bit Fugazi. So I'll start with you, Joey. Josh and Nick Dacos are already the best brothers in the AFL playing right now.
It's very close to Fair Dinkum. By the end of the year, they will be. Maybe the Mackay brothers at the moment, just because of a bit more body of work behind them. But I think by the end of the year, Josh and Nick Dacos will be the best brothers in the AFL. Damo, I even started brainstorming after their game Friday night whether what's the benchmark in regards to the best brothers in the AFL in the history? Could they get to that level? And then I looked up the Maddens and I went, oh, that's a pretty bad. That's going
to
be hard.
Maddens are very
hard.
They had
like 800 games, seven All Australians, and about five or six flags. I'm like, oh, that's going to be tough to beat.
And still to this day, quite possibly the best ruckman of all time in Simon Hinchell, I would say.
So maybe not of all time for the Dacosters, but I think definitely in the AFL by the end of the year.
Daisy?
No, the Deconings in that consideration just yet?
They'll be better than the Deconings by the end of the year.
How many brothers are there in the AFL?
It's a few.
Is there a few?
Question without notice. Daisy, the Essendon game is the most important of Stewie Jew's coaching career.
Yeah, fair dinkum. I've been a big supporter of Stewie Jewell.
You have.
And what the Gold Coast Suns
have
done.
You and I had a fight about it last year.
We had a small brawl.
Oh, it was a fight.
Yeah, it was a scrap.
Not a Luke Beveridge style fight, but just a little scrap.
It wasn't that bad.
Did you go to him about his chompers too? Anyway, story for another day, Bevo, if you're listening. Fair dinkum. I have concerns for the Gold Coast Suns again. I thought they'd improve this year. And Jay-Z Clark asked me if I had them in my eight at the start of the season. I didn't, but I thought somehow they would improve because it was sort of now or never. They're going to be almost runs again for mine this year. They'll be 8th to 16th again somewhere. And if they don't win this weekend, they've got the Cats the week after. It gets pretty tough pretty quick. I'm really not sure. So I'm going to tip them this week for what it's worth, but it is a massive week for that football organisation.
Yeah, I think they're just an average football team. That's just where they are. They're just an average team. They're okay, but they're not going to challenge the top teams, and they're probably not going to finish in the bottom four, but that's all they are.
I'm with Joey. They keep telling us they're ready, and they don't appear to be to me.
Now, Dame, I've just looked out into the airlock, and the great Ash Chua has just
joined
in. So this one's not on the list, but fair dinkum or Fugazi, Ethan Meldrum is joking if he thinks he's going to get anywhere near Ash Chua in his stats career on Triple M.
That's fair dinkum. I love the new addition. I love the succession plan we've got, but I go way back with Ash, and I've got a lot of soft spot for Ash. So, yeah.
Another one for you, Damo. Bill Brandless is completely checked out of the Saturday Rub.
What year do you want to put it? I'm not sure he even checked in.
For those who weren't listening on Saturday, he wasn't in the state.
No.
He was in Sydney.
For round one.
For round one, his horse was racing at 4:45. So he could have at least sat around for the first half of the game, North Melbourne, West Coast, and then flown to Sydney, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So you think he's checked out?
Oh, well, as I said, I'm never sure he's actually there, even I see him in person. So
he's taking the mickey.
Which is part of his genius.
Joey, West Coast, Adelaide, Geelong, Fremantle, Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast and Hawthorn should all sack their coach and hire a new one for this weekend because it's proven that it works. All new coaches have won on the weekend.
No, that's Fugazi. I couldn't keep up with which clubs you were talking about then. No, that's Fugazi.
On top of that, one of the new coaches from this year will make finals.
Ooh.
I'm starting to think fair dinkum. I know it's early in the year and I'm not going off just round one, but we do know there is always a surprise packet every year. That just happens. And we never predicted in our ladder predictors, Daisy, because we don't know which team it will be. But maybe the Giants, maybe Essendon, rough chance St Kilda. I'm going to say fair dinkum. One of those little teams down the bottom six from last year will make the top eight.
Daisy, Isaac Rankin and Josh Rochelle will be the next great forward duo.
Oh, great's a big call. I'll go Fugazi, but I do like what I'm seeing.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate?
Well, I will. I think that Rankin's got the capabilities to get there. Rochelle, again, he's going to be a really good player for a long period of time, you think. But I think we are in an industry where we jump on superstar and star far too quickly. They're rising stars. They're emerging talent. I'm not going to jump on that one just yet.
No, I like that answer.
Thank you.
Damo, the Lions obviously lost round one. They've got Melbourne at home. They've got the Dogs under the lid, and then they've got the Pies at home. They could realistically start the season 0-4.
That is fair dinkum. I've got concerns on the back of, albeit one match I saw last weekend against Port Adelaide. So I'm a bit with the other guys. I don't make sweeping statements. You're forcing me to on this occasion.
Yes, I
wait till round six normally, but I think in the context of fair dinkum or Fugazi, that is a right now fair dinkum outcome.
There's a little trend that's starting to emerge with the Brisbane Lions. Ooh. Some bad beats, some
things that teams
we're talking about winning premierships, premiership teams. Ooh. Don't get beaten by 10 goals too often. And they've been beaten 3 of their last 5 games by 10 goals.
Daisy, this is this man's Saturday. Footy Talk podcast, Dead Set Legends, North Melbourne versus West Coast for Fox, Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs for Triple M. No one did more heavy lifting outside of Luke Davies Uniacke than Joey Montagna on Saturday.
That's fair dinkum. I'm trying to go around and give myself the mantle as hardest working man in football. I'm certainly chasing one backside at the minute and is the man across the table from me. Joey, you are absolutely everywhere. And the beauty of it is, Rabsy, when I do too much over a weekend, I'm absolutely rubbish in one of them. He just rocks up and delivers time after time. Got all the numbers, looking across at Kingy's laptop at time to time. I noticed that a little bit. I'm not sure still what's
it's
on there.
It's a stack off between him and Kingy.
Yeah, I was like, came around one, asked me about round 13, how we're travelling.
No, but he's been brilliant. Well done, Joseph.
Harry Sheasel was the rising star nomination on field. Stevie Johnson Rising Star nomination off field, you think, Joey Montana?
Yeah, fair dinkum. Great start. Great start. Caught everyone's attention. Even the best in the business were listening to the Sunday rub.
Who, Joey?
On Sunday. Who? Even Caroline Wilson was a big fan. She
loves Triple M.
She tuned in. So we've got all the big names listening to the Sunday rub with Stevie J and Daisy on board this year.
She once said Triple M's a party she's not invited. She doesn't feel invited to. And I actually said in front of
she
it,
can come.
You're not Caro.
No, everyone's invited to the Triple M.
I'm going to ask for a sit down for a Sunday special with Caro. That'd be a treat.
Not sure. A meeting. I'm not sure contractually she'd be able to come in.
Yeah, for broadcast. A meeting of the minds, that'd be.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, I think you'd be out of bringing nothing.
Yeah, you'd be out of your depth there, Daisy. Yeah. Finally, Damo, journalistically, Ross Lyon is the greatest coach to have back in the AFL system.
Fair dinkum. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Why was there a pause there?
No, I was trying to work out whether it was Fugazi or fair dinkum. It's fair dinkum. Right. Yeah, so I'm still getting used to this segment. It's only week two. So, look, it is the breath of fresh air element. The fact that he's come back in as the Ross we knew him to be. He's trying to tell us he's cuddly and warm. He's none of that. But no, I love what he does. And he feels the need now, I think, to bring something to the table, doesn't he, when the microphones are in front of him. So I like it.
Beautiful.
A lot.
And I like this segment.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
It's good. Very good.
Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo. The predictions coming up next, a certainty and a surprise.
Joey Montagna.
Give it a bit louder.
Daisy Thomas.
Take his best from here.
And Damien Barrett.
We're here to talk football.
Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
Not too far away from round two, kicking off tomorrow night at the MCG. There are some huge games to go through, including that game Carlton versus Geelong. Joey, I want to get your tip early on that one.
Big game. Geelong, do they go zip two? We know that they're having a bit of a soft start with their preparation because they are peak, building for the back end of the year. If they get through this game, they've got a pretty good run for the next month. I'm giving Carlton a big chance. I'm bullish on the Blues this year. I think defensively it was a really positive against Richmond. They just need to be able to take the game on. You can't play slow against Geelong and expect a win. They've got to take a bit of a blueprint from what Collingwood did. If the Blues move the ball quicker, I think they can upset the Cats.
I'm slightly concerned just in this matchup. We saw it last year around round 7, round 8, I think it was, and the Cats systematically took down the Blues. I don't know. I don't know if I saw enough from Carlton. You said defensively they were good. They held up, but just purely on weight of numbers. There was so much ball down there. You can't give Hawkins, Cameron, the Geelong forward line, that type of result and that much ball down there without kicking or having a score kicked against you. I'll be tipping Geelong in this one.
Well, I'm going to make the Carlton Football Club my surprise selection of round two with a slight degree of confidence in saying that. I like what they did to your point last week, Daisy. I was looking at the glass being half full on those issues. And I just feel with Geelong, the back line is a problem for them right now. They've always covered, but Henry, Collegiazzi, we don't know of as we speak right now whether he comes back in, but Stewart's also out. So I just think with the two big boys, the two brothers, Joey, who you think are the best in the comp right now, the Mackay brothers being one of those, and Harry and Charlie, the Coleman medalist from last year. So I'm going Blues.
Gets pretty big on Friday night as well. Brisbane versus Melbourne. By the way, Damo, huge night of sport in Brisbane.
Massive.
The Dolphins versus the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium.
Spins up.
On the same night as Brisbane versus Melbourne at the Gabba. What are your thoughts on that game, Joey?
I'm making Melbourne my moral. Melbourne are my moral. They are cherry ripe at the moment. I think they get all the boys back in. May,
all four.
It looks like May, Viney, Fritch and Salem. Yep. My gosh. So Brisbane, I'm just a little, as I said, just a slight, so they're still a very, very good team and will play finals, but just a slight little concern on Brisbane, Melbourne morals.
One from five, Brisbane have beat Melbourne in their last five, so I'm with you on that one. I think Melbourne will be a sit and steer job.
Yeah, I'm the same with the D's, but not as confident as you.
Huge game at the MCG on Saturday as well. Port Adelaide smashed the Lions last weekend, and Collingwood, well, they beat Geelong pretty comfortably in the end. Who wins that game, Joey?
Cracking game. Probably will lean towards the Pies at the MCG.
I'm the Pies too, but I love what Port brought last week.
Yeah,
but Pies.
Port travelling concern. Pies unbelievable. Chock-a-block full of confidence. Couldn't love them anymore.
Billy Frampton's role on Charlie Dixon. It's going to be massive.
It will be.
Adelaide versus Richmond, Daisy?
Yeah, I give Adelaide a chance just from previous history, but I think Richmond will be too good in that one.
All right, we've got Dogs versus St Kilda. That's going to be another massive game, I reckon.
Big test for St Kilda. Yeah. Big test. The Dogs have to bounce back. If their midfield dominate, they generally win. I'm just concerned the Dogs' midfield might be a bit too talented for St Kilda's.
Morals for me, sorry. That's where I'm going to put my moral.
Who's that?
On the dogs. Kilda. No, please.
Morals for dogs. Yes.
Freo returned to winning ways against North Melbourne?
Yeah, well, if they weren't $1.10, I might have hitched it to that. But I think, yeah, North Melbourne, although they were good and better, I think Freo, who were very disappointing, get back to their home patch, be far too good.
Sydney just get the job done against Hawthorn. But what about Essendon versus Gold Coast, Joey? That's the game the Sunday Rub will be doing. You cast your eyes on that
one. I was impressed with the Bombers. I know it was only against the really poor Hawthorn. But as I said earlier, Gold Coast, I'm just concerned, are an average footy club. Bombers with a bit of momentum. They can make it 2-0.
And the Giants, injury-depleted Giants, they faced West Coast over at Perth. What are we going to do there, Damo?
I'm making, weirdly enough, West Coast my certainty for the week. I've been bagging them for 18 months. I bagged them last week after what they dished up against North Melbourne. I'm giving them one more chance.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm doing it on the basis that GWS is coming off that heatwave match that they had to encounter against Adelaide, having to fly across the country to meet West Coast. Last chance, Eagles.
I'll make Giants my surprise. I think they can win over there.
I miss my surprise, but Gold Coast will be it.
Okay. Mm. Good.
I can't believe you've taken West Coast as
soon. Can we scrub that? Can we do that again?
I don't know. We'll revisit it next week, but that's it. Catch every game round two on Triple M, starting with tomorrow's blockbuster at the G between Carlton and Geelong, live from 7 p.m. with Luke Darcy, Jack Hever and Nathan Brown, Daisy Thomas, Ash Chua and Nat Ioannidis. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Damo. Thank you, Daisy.
Right on, Ramsey.
Thanks, boys.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.